Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Can we make some noise for Jesus today? He is the King of Kings. He's the King of Kings, and He's so worthy of our praise. He's so worthy of our attention. He's so worthy of our time. What I think is really cool, I don't know if you'll think this is cool, but I think it's really cool that the King of the universe wants to spend time with us. Like, I don't have very many famous people that give a rip about me. I don't like walk into rooms and people who are like millionaires and have fame and fortune, and they're like, oh my gosh, Rob Shepherd just walked in the room. But the God of the universe, the King of Kings, it's like, knows your name. It's like, wow, you're here. I can't wait to spend some time with them. I just want to speak to them. I want them to hear from me. I want them to know that they're my kid and I love them. So that's what we're going to do in the next few moments. We're going to hear from God, the King of Kings. We're going to get a chance to hear from Him. And the primary way that God speaks to us is through the Bible. And so we're going to look at it, highlight it. And at Next Level, we want to honor the text. And the way we do that is by standing to our feet. We read our theme verse for the day. So it's going to come up on the screens. And the reference is where it's found in the Bible. And it's found in 1 Peter 3:7. There's two dots between the 3 and the 7. And we do something fun here. And it's especially important for the 8:15 crowd, because you guys are just waking up. You need a little extra boost, and this is better than a good cup of coffee. And so what we do is we're going to say 1 Peter 3:... We're going to pump our fists, and then we'll say 7. So 1 Peter 3:7. Will you read the text with me nice and loud? It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you, gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. 1 Peter 3:7. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? And I want to give you a second to talk to God, and I want to invite you just to quietly pray this prayer in your heart. Would you pray, God, speak to my heart and give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? Would you spend a few seconds talking to Him? And God, we do invite you in today. We ask that you would speak to our hearts in a personal way. We ask that you would remove the distractions from this room, remove the distractions from our own minds. Help us to just narrow in and focus. When you speak, it is often a still small voice. So we ask you to help us to listen to you. But more importantly than that, God, help us be people who do what you tell us to do. Help us not just to hear the word, but to do it. And we ask that you would just do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine in this place. God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you can have a seat. And as you're seated, I need to know, is there anyone excited to be at church today? I got to tell you, it's been a little while since we had the 8:15 service. And now we're back to having this. And we got some early risers. You guys like getting here early, and I love it. I love it. You guys have some energy, and you don't look too tired, so I love it. I want to, before we get too far into things, I like to give a few shout-outs. And first off, I'd love to give the shout-out to those who serve in our military. Will you help me thank and welcome them for being here? Second, I try to often highlight and share a shout-out from one of our owners at Next Level Church. We don't have members. Members have rights. We have owners. Owners have responsibility, which means when this is your church, you're part of making this thing the best that it possibly can be. And so we have a group of owners that get together on Wednesday nights to help invest in our student ministry. This is our student team, and our students in middle school through high school meet every single Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:00. And our student team is absolutely incredible in investing in them. We have small group time, but they also help us with setup and tear down. And this past week, we had a fun event called Thrift Store Prom, where students went to the thrift store and got their outfits and then came, and it was a whole big thing, and it was awesome. But I'm blown away and incredibly grateful for this student team for investing in our teenagers, and I wanted to give them a shout-out. Will you help me thank them? So this month, we are focused on the family. It's what we're calling Family Month, and we have some ways for you to participate in this outside of Sunday mornings. And on week one, we handed out a card, and you can get this information if you scan the QR code. But on this card, on the back of it, I had a handful. There was five things that we're challenging our church to do. And these five things are hopefully really practical things and easy things for you. And I want to highlight just two of them. I want to make sure that you're doing this. If you are here and you're married, then the challenge is for you to start praying with your spouse, if you don't already do that, every single night, if you can. Not everyone is able to do that for whatever reason. If you're married and you're not able to pray with your spouse, at least pray for your spouse every single day. If you have kids, especially kids still at home, pray with your kids. Now, not everyone gets to see their kids every day, and so if that happens, pray for your kids on the days that you can't get them. But I would highly encourage you, even if you're here today and you are single, to carve out some time praying for family. And so if you're single, pray for your parents. That would be a great thing to do daily. You can pray for your future spouse and your future kids, but carve out time praying with your family. And if you cannot do that, at least pray for your family every single day. And then the last part about that is we have changed up the YouVersion plan. For the first 2 weeks, it was a YouVersion plan for married couples. Now we've put one in for families, specifically families with kids at home. And this will give you a way to practically get into the Bible with your kids. So make sure you scan that QR code and check that out. Well, what we're doing in this series is we're looking at Peter's challenge to Christians. And we've been going through his challenge, and I want to do a little bit of review because each week builds on the last. And so if this is your first time, I want to try to catch you up to speed, or if you just have like short-term memory loss and you don't have a fat clue what we talked about last week, I want to try to catch you up to speed. The very first thing that we looked at is there are two things that Peter teaches us about marriage. Number one, godly marriage is not two needy people unsure of their own value. This is incredibly important for every single one of us to grasp. It is so important for you to grasp. We all have our own insecurities. We all do. And for some reason, we think that when we get married, that other person is going to help fill in these gaps and going to help us become more secure and help us feel more valuable. But that's not the way that it works. Marriage doesn't complete you. It reveals who you already are. So if you have insecurities, which we all do, the way to fix that is to find your value in God. And that takes us to the second point that Peter makes. Godly marriage is a man and woman who have both understood why they were made by God and who they are in Christ. Who you are in Christ is your identity, and it is so important for every Christian to understand this. If you are single, please hear me just for a second. If you're single, you actually have a great advantage over all of us married folks. Because if you're single, you get to do this hard work now, and you don't have to do it while you're married to someone else. Find your value in God, and then pray for a spouse that knows their value in God. And then when you get together, you'll experience the greatness of marriage. But as long as both people are incomplete and do not know their value, they will constantly look for the other person to validate them. And they will constantly look for the other person to fill them. And when that doesn't happen, it just destroys our emotions, and we just get all sorts of messy. So this is something that is incredibly important. If you're single, this is important for you to understand. But listen, if you're a parent, this is important for you to teach to your kids. Your kids need to know that they have value in this world. And the value that they have is not because they can bounce a basketball or kick a soccer ball. The value that they have is that they were created in the image of God. They have a purpose. And as a parent, you've got to help them understand that and see that. Because the truth is a lot of us grew up in households where our parents never helped us find our identity in Jesus. So we latched on to something. We found it in our looks, or we found it in our job, or we found it in our country, or we found it in something that we could say, okay, that's who I am. No, no, no. As a Christian, who we are is who God says we are. And we looked at it in week one that Peter says, if you're a Christian, according to Jesus, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's prized possession. It's kind of like the kids' song that we used to sing when I was growing up in church. I don't know if you grew up in similar churches to me. Maybe you sang this song. Maybe you didn't. I don't know if we still sing it today. But it's a song that I think is theologically accurate. And the song says, if I were a butterfly, I thank you, Lord, for giving me wings. And if I were a robin in a tree, I thank you, Lord, that I could sing. And if I were a fish in the sea, I wiggle my tail and I giggle with glee. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me. Why? Because you gave me a heart. And you gave me a smile. You gave me Jesus. And you made me your child. And I just thank you, Father, for making me me. Thank you, God, for making me me. I'm not perfect. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a better leader. There's lots of things that I'm like, man, I wish I had this. But this is so incredibly important. When you understand who God created you to be and you understand your identity, then you go back to your creator and you say, thank you, God, for making me me. And any gaps that I have, any imperfections I have, I go to you and I allow you to fill these things. I don't try to fill them with another person because another person can't because they got gaps of their own. But here's what happens in a godly marriage. When both the husband and the wife pursue Jesus and they have him fill their gaps and fix their imperfections, what happens is as they run to Jesus, God draws them closer to each other. It is incredibly important to understand this. So then last week we saw that Peter introduced this word called submission, and it's a word that our culture doesn't like at all, but it's a word that our culture doesn't understand. And the biblical definition of submission, what we looked at last week, is that submission is a spiritual discipline that frees us from the everlasting burden of always needing to get our own way. Can we just admit that we're very selfish creatures and we like to get our own way? And when you get in a relationship with someone, you really want to have your own way. But what Peter introduces is this idea that a Christian marriage is two people who are constantly submitting. And our first thing that we're submitting to is Jesus. It's not my way, God, it's your way. God, it's your will be done. What do you want, God? I'm going to lay my life down for you. I want to serve you. And from there, Peter gives a challenge to Christian women. And this is what we looked at last week. Peter's challenge to Christian women, spend more time working on your inner beauty than you do your outer beauty. And our culture today puts so much emphasis on and so much pressure on women to look a certain way. And the outer beauty is like, it's like our culture is on crack, focusing on women and how they look. And the scriptures come back and say, hey, listen, you know what? Man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. So don't neglect your heart. Don't neglect your soul. And I gave some very practical ways for you to practice this. And then we ended with a challenge on a specific way that wives can submit to your husbands. And I want to remind you of this to keep you accountable. Because some of you just left Sunday and you said, my work's done. I went to church. I don't have to do anything else. But there was homework last week. And the homework was to submit by doing something fun that your husband enjoys to do. That's a way that you can submit. And this isn't just a one-time thing. It's not just I did it 1 week. I'm good for the rest of my life. It is a regular, ongoing thing where you find something that your husband enjoys doing and enjoy it with him. Don't go and do it and then complain the whole time. Don't go and do it and say, well, I don't know how you like this. Find something that he likes, that he's interested in, and enjoy it. And I'm telling you, when you do this, it opens up communication lines. It opens up romance. It does so many things when you do this on a regular basis. Now, we ended last week by sharing that Peter is transitioning from wives to husbands. So if you're here today and you're a man, especially if you're a husband, then buckle up, get ready, because this is for you. This is what Peter, he goes on to say this, 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So there's a lot in this really short passage, and Peter gives us specifically three challenges. He gives men three challenges, Christian men. Remember, this is written to Christians. Three challenges for Christian men. And he starts off by saying, husbands, in the same way, and this is where we get the first challenge for Christian husbands. Submit to your wife like Jesus submits to the church. So often, what is thrown at Christians and a complaint of Christians from the outside culture is that the Bible is outdated and antiquated and it's just old school and it's this old world. And what they don't understand is that the Bible was actually revolutionary. And when Peter wrote this verse, women did not have a lot of rights. In fact, a woman couldn't give testimony in a law of court because they were seen as being untrustworthy. Now, that wasn't a Christian principle. That was the whole world. The whole world believed this. There was really unfair rules, when it came to gender. A man could ask for a divorce for any reason, but a wife couldn't ask for a divorce. That's not fair. That's the world that they lived in. If a woman, if a wife was caught in adultery, the punishment for her was death. But if a husband was caught in adultery, they would just let it slide. The world that they lived in was not that men and women are equal. And Peter comes along and says this revolutionary, radical thing that changes the world. And he says, listen, husband, Christian husband, your wife is not just called to submit to you in the same way you're called to submit to her. That's mind-blowing for their culture. You had some guys back then that were saying, wait a second, my wife has value? What? I had no idea. And what Peter is doing is he's helping us understand that, listen, if you are a husband, if you are a guy, you did not get married just for your wife to meet all of your needs and for you to do nothing. In the same way, husbands are called to submit to their wives. Christian marriage is a submission competition. The only thing Christian couples should compete in is who can submit more. Christian marriage is a submission competition. The only thing Christian couples should compete in is who can submit more. And it's not a competition of, look, I submitted yesterday, what did you do for me? That's not how this competition works. It should be a mindset of, like, both of us are saying, no, I'm going to put you first. I don't have to be right all the time. I'm going to meet your needs. And when both people in the marriage do this, magical things happen. But we're speaking to husbands, so I want to help you husbands. I want to help us understand how we can do this. Husbands, ask your wife, how can I support you today? Ask your wife, how can I support you today? Why is this an important question? Well, it's an important question because, unfortunately, a lot of us guys do not know how to read our wives' minds. And so we come home thinking everything is great. And we come home from a long day and we look around and we're like, man, the house looks good. The kids seem decent. Like, this is great. And the wife has all these things going on in her mind. There's just all this, like, pressure and there's all these things. And it's hard for her to, it's really hard for her to even ask for help. And she doesn't want a burden. So she's just like, I have all this pressure. There's all these things that I have to do. And so you're like, everything seems fine. So I'm just going to go sit down on the couch and just enjoy life because everything seems fine. I can just tell you most of the time it's not fine. And so a key thing that you can do, a key way that you can support and submit to your spouse is to ask her on a regular basis, how can I support you today? What would be helpful? What are you juggling that I could take off your plate? And then go do it. Not say you're... Men love to say they're going to do it, and then it's like, in the next 6 months, I'll get to it. No. Right now, I'm going to do it. What can I do to support you today? How can I help you? What can I do? What can I do to support you? So often in Christian marriage, and just in marriage in general, so often, wives love their husband, but they don't feel like they're on the same team. Because the wife is juggling so many things that he doesn't even know about. And often you don't know how to ask for help or you don't want to burden him or whatever. And so husbands, I'm telling you, this is going to go a long way. Start asking your wife just on a regular basis. But please hear me on this. Wife, if he asks you, tell him something. If you say, oh, I'm fine, he thinks you're fine. If you say, I don't need anything, he thinks she doesn't need anything. And so you cannot get mad at him if he's asked to help you and you said, I'm good. Because what did you tell him? You're good. He can't read your mind. So husbands, ask your wife, how can I support you today? Let's keep reading. 1 Peter 3:7, same verse. Husbands, in the same way, in the similar way that Christians are called to submit to authority, that wives are called to submit to their husbands, we're all called to submit to Jesus, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. The second thing that Peter challenges Christian husbands to do is to understand your wife like Jesus does. So Peter gives three challenges. First is submit to your wife like Jesus submits to the church. The second is to understand your wife like Jesus does. Peter says that a Christian husband needs to be considerate as he lives with his wife. Here's another way to say this. Live with your wife in an understanding way. Live with your wife in an understanding way. Now, this is not easy for us men because we are not women. We don't think like women. We don't respond like women. We don't communicate like women. If you ask a guy, hey, what's going on? And he says, I'm fine. Fine means fine. If you want to know what's going on in a guy, if he ever expresses it and tells you, it's typically what he actually means. And so guys, we have to learn this. This is a way that husbands can submit to their wives. We have to learn how to live with our wives in an understanding way. It's not telling them that they need to be less emotional. And it's not telling them that they need to get over it. And it's not telling them, well, if you would just be logical and fix this. That's not what is supposed to happen. What's supposed to happen is you are supposed to understand as you live with your wife. But this isn't easy, right? Because men and women, I don't know if anyone's ever told you this, but we speak a totally different language. We do. And there's a really funny video. I've shared this before, but I think it does a perfect job of highlighting just how different it is when a husband and a wife communicates. Check this out.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. Yeah,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way.
If you're married, I guarantee you can relate to that. This is something that I want to try to help us guys understand, okay? Men, we are wired to fix things. And so anytime our wife brings a problem to us, we see, oh, she needs help. Let me fix this. And wives, don't criticize your husband for having the gift of fixing it. We need that gift. You need that gift in your life. But here's what, guys, we need to learn to do. There are times when we need to take a pause on trying to fix it, and we need to just listen. And so here's what I want to ask you to do. Husbands, learn to ask your wife, do you want me to listen or fix this? And if she says listen, then you zip it and you just listen. There will be a time where you can fix it later. But right now, your wife just needs to pour out. And what she's wanting from you is to know that you're on my team, that you support her, that you're standing next to her. She wants to know this. Can I just tell you something that is really different? You've never, ever, ever heard a guy say, you know what I need is just a good cry. But you hear women say that. I have all these emotions. I just need a good cry. I just need a vent. If a guy vents, he's looking to fix the problem. If a wife vents, she's just looking to vent. And so when she vents about her job, right away he's like, well, who do I need to beat up? I'll go take him out. I'll go talk to your boss right now. And that's not what she wants. What she wants is for you just to say, that's tough. I can see why that's hard. But in order for you to know what your wife wants, you need to ask her this question. Do you want me to listen or do you want me to fix this? And please, please do not criticize your husband if he asks that question. He is trying his best. And so if he asks you, do you want me to listen or fix it? Tell him, hey, this is a time where I just need you to listen. Would you just support me? Let me know how difficult things are. Let's keep going. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. Treat them with respect. Some translations say treat them with honor. And this is where we get the third challenge. Peter's three challenges for husbands. One, submit to your wife like Jesus submits to the church. Two, understand your wife like Jesus does. Three, value your wife like Jesus does. When Peter wrote this letter to Christians, he did not write it in English. He wrote it in Greek. And the word that we have translated respect is the Greek word teme. It looks like time, but it's teme. And teme means a valuing by which the price is fixed. Now, understand this just for a second. Husbands, you are married to someone that the value has already been fixed. Who is your wife if she's a Christian? She's God's prized possession. Who is your wife if you're a Christian? She's a part of the royal priesthood, holy nation. She is who God says she is. And he has entrusted her care with you. And so as a husband, you are called to value your wife like Jesus values her. To me, valuing by which the price is fixed. Now, here's something that makes this challenging. When you first started dating your wife, you understood this. A guy understands, in order to win this girl over, I've got to value her. I've got to show her how special she is. I got to show her that I care. And something happens in a guy's brain when they look at a girl and they're like, ooh, she's cute. I want to spend more time with her. He goes into overdrive trying to win her over. And all of a sudden, he becomes romantic. And he buys flowers, and he writes notes, and he listens to her, and he makes eye contact. And during the dating phase, the woman tends to get the best version of her man. But then something happens. Once a husband and wife get married, something switches in the guy's brain. And he thinks, I've won her. My work is done. I no longer have to pursue her. I no longer have to do romantic things. I've accomplished everything I've come to accomplish. And what so often happens in marriage is that men retire the romance jersey in the rafters and they sit back in a lazy boy and they just say, I've done it. I've accomplished it. But that is not what your wife is looking for. You are called to submit to her on a daily basis the way that Jesus has called us to submit. And can I just tell you, you don't die one time. It's daily. You're daily looking for ways to submit to your wife and to meet her needs and to care for her. You've got to unretire the romance jersey. And can I just tell you that for a lot of us guys, we don't even have a fat clue what romance is. I learned what romance was by watching television and movies. And I learned just how wrong it was. My first year of marriage, I put a note in my phone. It was a reminder once a month to buy my wife flowers because I thought it was romantic. And so once a month, I would come home with flowers or I would send flowers to her work or I would bring flowers to her work. And every month, I was just getting her flowers. 7 months in, our first year of marriage, my wife says, you know, I'm not really the flower type of person. Huh? Based off my information, I thought all women like flowers. I thought this is just what I was supposed to do. And she's like, yeah, you know, I mean, I don't mind them every once in a while, but you're spending a lot of money on flowers. I would rather we just use that money to eat out. What? You're telling me all I had to do was take you to Taco Bell and you would have been happy? I don't understand this. No romantic movie taught me that. Television didn't teach me that. But this is what I want to make you understand. I want to help you understand. through years of trial and error of doing things that I thought were romantic, and it didn't fill her cup, or it didn't do what I thought it was going to do. Here's what I've come to understand romance as. Romance is pursuing your wife in intentional ways. Romance is pursuing your wife in intentional ways. So you want to learn how to be romantic? Get to know your wife and find out what she likes. Don't give her what you think she should like or what television or movies have taught you to think that she likes. Get to know your wife and then do that. Find out what she likes and do that on a regular basis. It's amazing when a husband is intentional and he does something on purpose for his wife. It is amazing what happens to her. I have gotten way more romance out of taking initiative by unloading the dishwasher than I ever have by buying my wife flowers. Literally, not too long ago, I was unloading the dishes. My wife said she had a hard day, and so after dinner, I just started putting dishes away, started washing stuff, and she goes, Are you okay? I'm just really attracted to you right now. What? I don't understand this. I'm not a romantic creature. I don't need romance. But romance isn't always like rose petals and special songs and these things that we see. Romance is literally pursuing your wife in intentional ways. Find out how she needs help and then do that and pursue her and show her you care about her. And here's the deal. Right now, some of you guys are saying, I just can't do that. But you did it at one point. Because to win her, you were intentional. And you did whatever you could to show her that she was a prized possession, and you need to get back to that. That's why, husbands, what you did to win your wife is the same thing you need to do to keep her. What you did to win her is the same thing you need to do to keep her. If you prioritized her in the early days, you got to prioritize her now. If you listened to her intently and you made eye contact to her without being on your phone in the early days, you got to do that now. Whatever you did to win your wife over, she needs you to keep doing that on a regular basis. Unretire the romance jersey from the rafters and pursue your wife. Now, I know that the focus is on husbands today because that's what Peter's focus is. But I do want to just say that if your husband is making an effort, please encourage him. And something that is often baffling to husbands and wives is that the husband does something and he's like, hey, did you notice that I did this? I did this. And she's like, what do you want, a cookie? Like, I do that all the time. Well, why do you need a parade because you did this? Like, I don't get it. Can I just tell you that guys are looking, they are looking for respect and appreciation from their wife. And wives, I know you want it too, and I hope he gives that to you too, but I'm telling you right now, if your husband shows some effort, the worst thing that you can do is shut down his effort by criticizing how he did something. Well, if I was loading the dishwasher, I would have done it that way. If I was folding the clothes, I would have done it a different way. How come you can't handle the kids the way that I handle them? He's trying. And you think if you criticize him, it's going to actually motivate him to do better. But that's not what happens. When a guy gets criticized, he shuts down. And I want to share this insight to you. It's from a pastor, and I think it's very insightful. And I think it's going to help a lot of us out. Check this out.
When a man does not feel appreciated in the area of his presence, he becomes a version of a man that he can give you and still survive. And I promise you, you will not like that version. That version of him is silent, frustrated, sharp with his words, non-communicative, because he has to become something that he can survive in.
The truth is that a lot of us husbands at some point we tried and we didn't feel like it was good enough. And we did our best, and it probably was dumb. It probably was a stupid thing. But because of our own egos and because of our own pride, when we felt that criticism, we just shut down. And so I just want to encourage you, wife, if your husband's trying, encourage him. Encourage him and watch. He'll start doing even more and he'll do even better. But husbands, do not wait until you feel appreciated to pursue your wife. Do not wait. If right now, if you're feeling, yeah, man, I can relate to that clip. I do feel shut down. I don't feel appreciated. Can I just tell you, do not wait until she starts appreciating you. That's not what you're called to do. What you're called to do is to pursue your wife. So I want to give Christian husbands a cheat code for submission. Christian husbands, here's a cheat code for submission. Intentionally make time to show your wife affection and care. Intentionally make time to show your wife affection and care. Intentionally make time. And affection and care does not start at the end of the day in the bedroom. It starts at the beginning of the day. It goes all throughout the day. Intentionally make time to show your wife affection and care. How can you do that? Well, walk in the kitchen, just put your hand on her back. Say, hey, how was your day? Physical contact that doesn't lead to anything or doesn't have any strings attached to it. Look her in her eyes when she speaks and say, hey, what's going on with you today? Listen to her. Listen to what she says. And when she says something and your first thought is, well, don't be so emotional. Just zip your lip and say, hey, I think that's hard. That's tough. I'm sorry that you went through that. That's tough. I'm here to support you. Can I just give you a hug? I just want to love you the way that God loves you. So many men don't take initiative because we're afraid. And we're afraid that we're going to get rejected. We're afraid we're going to get hurt. And can I just tell you, no. You have a prized possession if you are married. It is God's prized possession. You do not wait until you feel appreciated. Your calling by God is to pursue her and love her. And when you do that, magical things happen. But this is why it's so incredibly important to find our identity in Jesus. And this is why Peter starts, before he gets to instructions for wives and husbands, he starts by making sure you understand who you are in God. Because your wife will not always fill your tank. She won't. She's imperfect. She's a human herself. And if you wait for her to fill your tank, you won't have anything to give. So what do? We go to God and we allow God to fill our tank. And then we serve out of what God's done in our heart. Find out your identity. Men, please hear me on this. The best thing you can do for your family is to pursue God with all your heart. And the best thing you can do for your kids is to love Jesus with all your heart and find out why God's created you to be on this earth. When you find that out, you come alive. Start living in your purpose. Be who God's created you to be and watch what happens. If you're here today and you don't know your identity, you don't know Jesus, we want to make sure that you have an opportunity to meet him. So as we wrap things up, I just want to ask that everyone bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want to speak to those who would just say, like, yeah, you know what? I don't know my identity in Jesus. Maybe you've been in church for a long time. Maybe you've said a prayer. But you would say, hey, I haven't given Jesus my whole life and I haven't found my identity in him. I want to give you a chance to do that. And if you're ready to do that right now, just ask that you just repeat this prayer quietly in your heart with me. Would you just pray after me? God, I admit that I've found my identity in so many things other than you. I ask, God, that you would forgive me for my sins. I ask, God, that you would help me to know my purpose. I ask that you'd help me to live in my purpose. I ask that you would become part of my life. I lay down my rights. I choose to surrender my life to you. And I give you my life. And I ask that you help me to live for you all the days of my life. Before you open your eyes and lift up your heads, I just want to say, if you said that prayer, we would love to know about it. We'd love to help you on your journey. Christianity was not meant to be lived alone. We need other people. And we want to celebrate with you, but we also want to help you know how to walk with Jesus. So we have some cards, and these cards are going to help you know how to take your next step. And so if you said that prayer after me, there's no one looking around, would you just lift your hand up? We want to get you one of these cards that you can fill out. If anyone just said that prayer, you can just lift your hand. No one else is looking, and we'll give you that card. Once you get that card, you can fill it out and put it in one of the black drop boxes located around our building. God, we give you today and we ask you to help us, the men in the room, we ask you to help us to live in our calling, to live in our purpose, and that we would love you with all of our hearts, souls, and mind. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.